for joining us and supporting Vicky Doe Fitness. We ask for your continued support by becoming an It's All About Health and Fitness premium member. Go to www.vickidoefitness.com/join. Again, that's www.vickidoefitness.com/join and register for a $6 monthly subscription. And remember, keep listening, sharing, and checking us out.
The views and opinions expressed are for general informational purposes only. Consult with your physician or medical healthcare provider for medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment.
Today, we talk about buying and eating organic. When we define organic, it means produce that is raised without pesticides, synthetic fertilizers, or GMOs. Organic livestock regulations require that animals be raised without antibiotics and hormones. They should be given organic feed and have outdoor access. Is this all necessary? Joining us today is Nicole Robbins, a registered holistic nutritionist and owner of the specialty organic store Sprout Market in North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, to discuss with us why we need to go organic. All this and more on It's All About Health and Fitness.
Welcome to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. This program is brought to you by Vicky Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum. Now here's your host, Vicky Doe and D. Banks Bright.
I'm Dr. Vicky Hayward Doe, and with me is the one and only Dr. Virginia D. Banks Bright.
Hi, Vicky. How are you?
I am fine, and it is a beautiful day.
It is a lovely day.
I know.
Lovely day.
Remember that song, Lovely Day?
I know. What is it? How is it? That Bill Withers, and I still try to hold that note. Lovely day. And I still can't hold that note. I don't know how he did that. I love that song.
That's a beautiful song.
But I still can't figure out how he was able to hold it forever.
And ever. I know. But it's good to have as many beautiful days as we can have in Northeast Ohio.
Yeah, it's a lovely day.
Because in a little bit, I know, snow and ice.
I read today that snow's coming because of the lake effect. Something about the lake is warm still, and
ooh,
you know that.
So
we're
gonna get hit.
I've heard in the next couple of weeks we're gonna get hit a little bit with some snow, and that would be par for the course.
I know that'll be terrible.
Because it's going into November,
and I'm not ready. Are you ready? I'm not ready either.
I'm really not. They've already got Christmas stuff out. I went to an unnamed store, and there were Christmas trees everywhere
already.
I'm like, really? Yeah.
I'm still trying to celebrate Halloween. Boo.
Yeah, that's about it for me. Boo.
That's about it. But today, we are talking about buying and eating organic, and is it really necessary? And right now, we hear in the media and in the health and wellness culture about the importance of buying and eating organic, natural foods without chemicals, antibiotics, pesticides, or being genetically modified. In other words, going back to basics, where we bought and ate our food, not very far from where it was grown. Now let's think about it. When was the last time you bought and ate from a garden or a farmer's market? How about our everyday household products or personal products such as makeup, cologne, and so forth? Have we taken a conscious effort to buy products that have less chemicals in them? Well, today we are excited because we have our guest, Nicole Robbins, who is a registered holistic nutritionist. She's an owner of the specialty organic store Sprout Market in North Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. She will talk with us about her store and the organic culture and community that she is creating. She will also discuss why it is important for us to think about buying organic. We can't wait to hear from her, right, T?
I know, right?
I know. That's going to be exciting. Mm-hmm. And so we want to remind folks to make sure you go to our website, www.vickidofitness.com, and sign up for our newsletter, because by signing up, you will be the first to hear about our updates, our upcoming workshops, and our healthy living tips. And we want you to make sure you go on iTunes under our podcast show, Vicky Doe Fitness, and give us a great review. We definitely would love to hear what you have to say. And as always,
thank you
for your support. Well, Dee, I had an awesome weekend.
I saw the pictures. Tell us all about it.
Yes.
I'm excited. Tell us.
I went to a wedding. Mm-hmm. And this wedding is from my favorite cousin, Simone. Mm-hmm. And she lives up in D.C., Maryland. And I love going there because when we go there, we visit our family. I always say the true Vicky Doe. Mm-hmm. On Nate's side, Dr. Nate's side. They are my Liberian cousins. Mm-hmm. And so Simone is the daughter. She grew up, I knew her when she was just a little tiny tot. And she grew up here, you know, mostly here in the United States. But yeah, she had a wonderful wedding. She married her high school sweetheart.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So they knew each other from when they were child, mm-hmm. growing up, and mm-hmm. they practically grew up together. Mm-hmm. They waited and waited. They were best friends. Mm-hmm. And then he popped the question and they got married.
Oh, that's great.
And everybody, even their friends, their young friends in college and so forth, were saying, about time. You know,
oh,
but she said, you know, it's not like I didn't wait, you know, because you know how we tell young folks when they meet their— some people know.
Right.
Some people know when they meet that certain one. Mm-hmm. They know that that's the one. Mm-hmm. But you know, when they meet them early in high school and stuff, we try to tell folks to wait.
To wait, exactly.
So she said, it's not like we didn't wait. They've been knowing each other for about 17, 18
that's
years.
That's great. What does she do?
So it's nice. Actually, she's on a clip that we saw. She's communication and all that kind of thing, reporter for CW. Mm-hmm. She was the one that held the mic out for Denzel Washington and his wife when they were doing The Fences.
Okay.
They were on the red carpet,
and she
was at one of the functions. They did a brief interview with her. We were so proud of her.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so she's really into the PR communications. That's what she does. And so the wedding was just fantastic. You know, Nate couldn't come, but the Doe Girls from Ohio
represented.
Yes, we were representing.
I saw you guys.
Yes, and so just a wonderful day to kind of get away, mm-hmm. hang out with my two girls, mm-hmm. and then we just had a wonderful time.
Oh, good.
We had a wonderful time. But I want to talk about the Vicky Doe Fitness event.
Yes.
The Healthy Heart, Healthy Living.
Tell us.
That ended up very well. Mm-hmm. Dr. Coop brought it on to us now.
I saw pictures too.
Yes, he brought it on and down and out and all that for us. We just really enjoyed ourselves. And I tell you, that was also just very good. And we're going to do a part two. Everybody says that we need to do a part two because we had a panel of mental health folks. We talked about, you know, mental health in our community. They could have— it started at 9. They were saying, you know what, this is too short. And it was so great. People were still networking after, still talking, just talking and talking. It was just outstanding. I really, really, really enjoyed it. We're definitely going to plan— we're planning right now to have the event. This is going to be our annual event.
Oh, that's great. So this was your, like, your inaugural
yes,
event.
Yes, to get the buzz out.
Oh, good.
And Dr. Coop came all the way. The celebrity doc came all the way from ATL.
The ATL.
Yes, indeed. The Joe Moss, he was there stretching folks out.
Oh, good.
And my homegirl, my best friend, I've been knowing her since 19, 20 years old, and I'm not going to tell y'all how old I am.
Don't start adding up numbers.
But she was there, my friend Gina, and she runs every day. She's like you. She's a runner.
Okay.
She runs. But she said, you know what? Joe Moss, I mean, he helped me stretch and do some of the things that I never really considered doing. And so she's going to add that to her regimen. So,
oh, good.
The food was good. You know, we like to eat very well, but healthy. And the pictures were just awesome that Deshaun took. So the jazz band, I just could keep going on.
How was the jazz band?
Oh, my God. Jeff Green and his daughter. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that's good. Jeff is very good at his group. They're stellar.
Yes.
Yeah, so they're stellar.
It was a good time.
Oh, that's good.
And we wanted to emphasize here at Vicky Doe Fitness that when we talk about health and wellness, it's some key things to talk about, but it's not ever boring. It can be fun. Mm-hmm. It can be inspiring. And so that's what happened the weekend of October the 6th and 7th.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. So how was your week? I mean, I haven't talked with you for a minute.
I know. So we had this big celebration for my mom.
Yes.
The same weekend that you had Dr. Coop here. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And, you know, my kids came and my sister and her kids and everything. And it was just, you know, it was relatively small, but very well received. The food was good. We had it videoed. You know, we had a videographer from North Carolina School of the Arts. We had a photographer.
Oh, wow.
And it was just great. And my mother loved it. And so it was good. You know, 100. I can't
100.
Even imagine.
You hear that, folks?
100 years old.
That is.
And the only thing
mom.
That didn't happen that we thought might have happened was that we sent her stuff to Al Roker, but apparently she didn't make his show. And then another thing that was really special, uh-huh. G.K. Butterfield and Alma Adams, who
yes.
are two congressional representatives from North Carolina, did a special resolution on the floor of the House of Representatives.
Yes.
You know, congratulating my mother on being 100. And it was kind of interesting because my mother's never really dealt with age. She didn't want the party.
Yes.
But it was kind of funny when, and at first I think she didn't know about the House of Representatives thing.
Okay.
I woke her up in the morning and told her to turn on the television.
Okay.
So when my sister arrived, she was a little bit miffed. And then we were like, well, Ma, it's out there now. So everybody knows you're 100. And you know what? She started embracing it.
Yes.
And that whole weekend, she goes, well, I guess, you know, I guess it's good to be 100. I made it to 100.
Yes.
And my sister and I were like, this is the first time she's ever mentioned her age.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was good.
At one point, it's like, you know, why hide it?
You got to get over it.
If you're 100, you're 100. My goodness.
I mean, very few make it that far.
That's it. And
very
then,
few.
And then she's not cooped up.
Exactly.
She's doing her stuff.
She looked beautiful. She had
yes.
her little fur wrap on and stuff. So, yeah, it was all good.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But another fun thing that I did this past weekend, I went to see, kind of did a nostalgia trip. I think you probably saw it on Facebook. I went to see Judy Collins and Stephen
yes.
Stills. And they just kind of took it. It was like a big party for baby boomers at the Powers Auditorium. And it really kind of took everybody back. You know, they were real big protest song singers.
Yes.
And it was kind of interesting because I think I put on Facebook, every old hippie in the world showed up. Some of them looked like they hadn't even taken off their hippie clothes since the 70s. You know, they were talking about how a lot of protest songs that they were singing then are still applicable now.
Yeah,
with
they're
the
relevant.
Charlottesville
sure.
situation and so forth. That was really, you know, it was really good to kind of reminisce. But I was talking to some of my residents yesterday and I was sharing with them what I had done over the weekend. I said, you know, I went to this show and I was seeing Judy Collins and Stephen Stills and they looked at me like a deer looking in headlights. Who?
Who?
And I said, well, you've never heard of Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young?
No.
You never heard of Both Sides Now with Judy Collins? No. I said, well, have you ever heard of Marijuana?
Yes.
I said, well, those are that's what was smoked around the time when people used to watch them at Woodstock and so forth. So,
oh, that's funny.
It was just kind of funny how they had no clue.
Right.
But most of these kids were born in the 90s.
Right.
And this is the protest music that he was first with Buffalo Springfield. That was in the late 60s.
Okay.
So I guess they would look at me like,
huh?
Ancient dinosaur. But it was fun. And I'm glad, you know, another one of those things where bringing it to Youngstown.
Yes.
So you don't have to go someplace else for your entertainment. So it was fun. You know, you and I should do more of that. Dior Overture was open for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
And then you went next door for the concert.
Oh, yeah, so that's great.
Let's do some symphonies this
year. We'll do that because I love the symphony.
Yeah, let's do some symphonies
And Youngstown, they're pretty good.
Very good.
The Dana School of, you know, from Youngstown State.
They put out a lot of good people.
Yeah, the Dana School of Music.
Our own Sean Jones came from the Dana School of Music. World-renowned. World-renowned Sean Jones.
Right. So, yeah, there is a little something coming
good out of Youngstown.
That's it.
Right.
That is it.
Right.
What is going on this week?
Oh, my goodness. Everything.
I know. We were just talking about the California fires.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's really sad. I mean, Charles Schulz of Peanuts fame, his house burned up.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of people's houses just were just completely destroyed. I mean, when you see people talk about everything was gone, pictures, you know, and you start thinking, geez, maybe I should start putting pictures in lock boxes, you know,
somewhere
that won't burn. So there was an old couple that passed. I mean, you just hear these horror stories of people that just kind of weren't able to make it out. One of our own friends here in town, Anita Lynn, who used to be the artistic director for Western Reserve.
Yes.
Her mom lives in Santa Rosa, and she was one of the first ones that put on Facebook that they got her mom out of there. She was in her, I think she's in her 90s.
Oh,
and
wow.
Got her mother out of that area. And then all the wineries that were burned and damaged. So, I mean, it's just, it's crazy. And I was sharing with you that I'm going to San Francisco next week, and there are some people that are wearing N95 respirator masks because they can't, you know, they're very sensitive to that smoke that's kind of looming over into the San Francisco area.
Wow.
It's not that far. I mean, wind takes stuff far.
Yes, it does.
You know, wind takes stuff very
far.
So I just, our prayers go out to all those people
Definitely.
That lost so much. And some people said, well, you know, you can replace material possessions, but you can't replace somebody's life.
No, you can't.
You know,
no, you can't.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of sad when.
Very sad.
Because a lot of the wildfires start by somebody.
Stupid stuff.
Yes.
Stupid stuff. Unattended fires or just lighting a fire, lighting a cigarette,
throwing
it down.
It out.
I know. Right.
So that's what I was thinking of. I was like, man, look at all that devastation. And it probably started with somebody being stupid. Well, you know, October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is an annual campaign to increase awareness of the disease. It also raises awareness of breast cancer risks, the value of screening and early detection, and treatment options that are available to women and men who are diagnosed with one of the many forms of breast cancer. More than 249,000 people in the United States are diagnosed with invasive breast cancer every year, and nearly 41,000 die from the disease. And over the years, we wear the pink ribbon that symbolizes breast cancer awareness. And today, you see the pink ribbon. It's in a
everywhere.
Lot of stuff, isn't it?
Everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Everywhere.
But, of course, it's more to that than just wearing
the
ribbon,
pink.
The pink, and so forth.
Yeah.
There's different places to go. The American Cancer Society.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at the everydayhealth.com, www.everydayhealth.com, breast cancer awareness. And they list, this particular website lists all of the physical and emotional impacts of breast cancer. It also gives you guidelines on what you need to do to participate in what is called breast health.
Right.
And that is not only just screening and early detection, but doing self-examination.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Knowing, because, you know, most time you know the lump first you know, you go to the doctor, right?
And interestingly enough, they have this thing out about men often find it in their wives first.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. A lot of women, their husbands or whatever, you know, husbands or, you know, boyfriends or whatever, or girlfriends or whatever, find the lump before they do.
Isn't that something?
And so they were just saying, you know, all at whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. And then move forward. They have so they just have so great things. Medical research
has changed so much. I remember when I first started medical school in 1970, and they were still doing things with breast cancer. I remember when I for a little while, I did one summer in the Department of Neurosurgery, and one of the treatments for advanced breast cancer in that time was to remove the pituitary gland. And I participated in the summers with watching, you know, tens and tens and tens of, it was called hypophysectomy, because that was a way to get rid of the hormone influence.
Yes.
And it was a brutal surgery.
It seemed like it.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. So, I mean, we have come so far. And then people still died. And we've come so far with our ability to prolong life. And I would like to make a pitch, because I just had mine. I always have mine during October, the 3D mammogram.
Yeah, that's what I
do,
too.
And put a pitch out there for those of you to, if you can, talk to your physicians about it.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that your insurance, I think more insurance companies are
covering it. Yes, yes.
And for me, you know, for your sense of well-being, especially if you have a family history or whatever,
mm-hmm.
I certainly would make a pitch for the 3D mammogram, which seems to be becoming more the state of the art for diagnosing. Wouldn't you say, Vicky?
Yes. And I do my breast screening by the 3D as well, because, you know, it can discover all the lumps, whether it's cancerous, or you could have cysts so forth in there, but you at least you'd be able to see.
Exactly.
It's a little bit better.
It's interesting, when I was there, they do both still.
They
did the regular one, and then they did the 3D, because
they
said they still don't want to do away with the regular one.
Right. And then your doctors ask.
Yes, exactly.
They ask if you want to do which one you want to
do. So it was, I've always been a big proponent of, advocate for that with the family history, but I would like to have people to make sure they make a pitch, because if you don't know, you don't ask. You know, sometimes people don't volunteer information in the healthcare world.
I know, which is terrible.
With African-American women, you know, with us, healthcare disparities and breast cancer healthcare disparities. So, you know, and for anybody, I mean, not just African, I make a pitch for African-Americans because of healthcare disparities, but for all women.
Yes. And then even men get breast cancer.
And men can get breast cancer.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
And so we have a health tip. We always do a health tip, and this health tip for today is exercising after breast cancer. And you can find this on Vicky Doe Fitness, written by Health Day News. The first thing is, after you have your breast cancer, you go through your treatment and so forth, you get your doctor's okay first, and you don't overdo it. Getting regular exercise can help breast cancer survivors regain strength and stamina. The American Council on Exercise offers this advice. Number one, before starting exercise, talk to your doctor about any limitations, restrictions, precautions, or recommended fitness activities. Consider working with a professional fitness instructor or physical therapist who has experience with breast cancer survivors. Start out slowly, even if you were active before your treatment. Give yourself time to rest between exercise periods and see your doctor if you have any problems. And last but not least, seek support from other breast cancer survivors. Well, Dee, hey, you know I had to watch the Celtics versus the Cavs.
You and me both. Oh, most deaf.
And Kyrie, most I think he
deaf.
Got spanked.
I think he did. Last time I saw Kyrie, he had his Dr. Dre earphones on and was humping on the bus. Bye, Felicia. See ya.
I don't think he thought that through.
LeBron said, bye, Felicia. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. But what about that awful break that Hayward got?
I know,
that was terrible. They just got him on the Celtics team from Utah Jazz, 4-year contract. He goes up and comes down and snaps his tibia. And it was horrible, because they showed the picture. I mean, when you see a picture like that,
I know.
You know it's got to be bad.
And yeah, so I mean, his foot was always...
It was distorted. It was twisted.
Twisted all the way.
In the opposite direction.
Ugh.
Yeah. It was externally rotated, as we say.
Yes.
Off the main plane
off the
of
main
the foot
plane of,
the,
yes.
of your leg.
Yes.
So you knew with an external rotation and off the main plane,
that hurts. Hurt. You tearing a lot of stuff.
Everything. Tendons, ligaments.
Oh, you tearing.
Everything. Mm. The joint, whatever. So they took him off the field. And it was just, you could just see though how everybody in the crowd, whether you were a Celtic fan or a, you know, Cavs fan, everybody just kind of felt for that young man. But it's, you and I were talking about, it just seems like,
yes.
Is it us, or does it seem like there are more injuries? I mean, like,
it's more injuries.
Where were people falling and snapping legs? You remember
I
that
know.
Other case the other couple of years ago where the guy, you could even
see the
bone
was
coming through.
Out. Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't know. Maybe, hey, that'd be a good research to do and figure out if our bone, what's happening with our bone.
That's major.
Our bone structure, is it weak?
I don't know.
Is it...
And these are awfully tall guys.
These
you
are
know?
Athletes?
Yeah, they're athletes.
Too much practice? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know either.
But I could see maybe a ligament or what. No, we talking about bones
snapping. Bones. Do they not have enough support with their shoes? Or I don't know. I don't know. It was awful.
Very. Yeah, oh, yeah. My
they
goodness.
They had to stop the game for about 10 minutes or so, right?
I have to. Mm-hmm. Just think of just think of
I
the
know.
Pain.
Oh, my God, yes. That's why I told you, I bet they gave him a shot of morphine on the field because there's no way he could have endured that pain without screaming and yelling. I've had just a few minor breaks, but bone breaking, because you break that periosteum, which is the point that has the nerves in
the
it.
The nerves, yes.
And it the pain just goes
through
your head.
I could just see it could just excruciating.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We know, unfortunately, we know that it's going to be a long time to recover
from
that.
It'll be a long
that.
Rehabilitation for him and stuff. But, you know, Serena, I guess, I don't know that she, did she break her ankle? But she came through. She had some reconstruction
and
on
her stuff too.
Ankle
yeah.
and kind of came back. So, you know, our prayers are with him and so forth that he, because that's a, you know, that's a 4-year contract. And I mean, his first game.
I know.
Imagine how he must feel.
I know. Your first game.
Your first game with the new team and you're out. For the rest of the season, for sure.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
Let us know. You know, we always have to keep count, and we're so grateful that you're here to tell us about the infectious disease, something that's lurking.
Yeah, so we haven't really heard a lot about this on the news, but I've kind of been, you know, paying attention. The plague, which I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, there's been an outbreak in Madagascar. And as of yesterday or 2 days ago, there were 56 dead and more than 680 infected in Madagascar. The plague continues to spread at unprecedented rates, and these latest figures were in the capital, Antananarivo. So the cases reported by the World Health Organization and the National Bureau for Risk and Disease Management in Madagascar include probable and suspected cases. So, you know, World Health Organization, now, you know, this is not CDC. I mean, I'm sure probably CDC people are down there, but this is, I'm sure, directed by the World Health Organization. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, it's caused by an infection with the bacteria Yersinia pestis, and it's typically spread through the bite of infected fleas, frequently carried by rats, causing bubonic plague. Mm. And the thing that most people die from is a almost always fatal lung infection.
So that's what happens.
They almost always die from an almost 100% mortality lung infection. Yeah. And so, you know, remember back to the Middle Ages, people were dropping off like flies.
Yes.
And they, you know, you had wagons.
What was it called?
Dying.
The bubonic
plague. The black plague.
The bubonic plague.
Yep. Yeah, so Madagascar.
How would that spread then? In the air then?
Well, we're hoping not so much. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing are those diseases that are spread airborne. Like I told you, one of my mentors was talking about the disease that frightened him the most. And here they talk about here the pneumonic plague is more virulent or damaging and is an advanced form. The infection can be transmitted from person to person.
Mm.
Via airborne droplets, cough, coughing, or sneezing. And that's what happens with tuberculosis, which makes it so infectious. And I was saying about this mentor of mine. Mm-hmm. He said that the disease that worries him the most is bird flu, if it becomes spread person to person. Because when you start spreading things person to person, you sneeze in a room, and 25 people could get infected. Mm. That airborne, aerosolized droplet type of infection thing is can be really bad. But, you know, it's just kind of interesting that infectious diseases are here to stay. I always tell people, you know, the bacteria and fungi and viruses were here before us, and they're going to be here after us.
Yes. And it's always something to do.
Something popping up.
Always something.
Always something popping up.
Well, you got to definitely keep us.
And I guess it's a good thing that Madagascar, I mean, good and bad for the people, but a good thing that they can somewhat contain it because it's on an island.
Right.
You know, Madagascar is kind of about, as opposed to now people, if it were in like Africa again, people traveling.
Back and forth.
Back and forth to different countries and stuff. So at least hopefully they can
contain it,
this. Yeah.
Well, today we're discussing buying and eating organic. And is it necessary? We have with us our guest, Nicole Robbins, who is a registered holistic nutritionist and a owner of a specialty organic store called Sprout Market. She will talk with us about her store and how she is building a community of folks that embrace the importance of organic and natural produce. But first, you know, we talk about and we hear all the time organic, natural, and all those buzzwords. Mm-hmm. So let's have a definition. Let's define what organic means. And so there's an article written by one of our health experts, Gabe Sanders. Dr. Sanders wrote this article. It's called Organic, All Natural, Hormone Free. What's the buzz? And he says, when you go to the grocery store, you can find most produce, meats, and dairy in both conventional and then organic raised forms. Food that is organically grown is grown using a more natural process than conventionally grown foods. Organic farming is a method of farming that relies less on chemical fertilizers and pesticides and more on natural fertilizers. Organic livestock is raised using organic feed and are not given hormones or antibiotics to encourage their growth. Organic food and the organic farming process is a more environmental friendly way to produce food as it focuses heavily on water and soil conservation. Now, the purpose of organic farming is to nowadays is to mimic the way farmers used to raise their crops and livestock in the early 1900s. However, I will have to say, too, you know, we grew up down south.
Went to my grandmother's house every summer.
And grandma had a garden. She had cabbage in that garden.
Always. Yep.
Collard greens.
Yep.
Tomatoes.
We did too. Not a lot of pesticides. I can remember
pesticides. No. She didn't do pesticides. No. They had little crops that they would plant near the right,
all natural stuff that they knew.
That will do that. So nowadays, you know, we are trying to go back to basics. We have what is called USDA organic certified versus all natural. And food that is defined as USDA organic certified and it has the seal on it must meet the strict guidelines that are set forth by the United States Department of Agriculture, USDA, that's what that comes in. And organic produce, and here are the guidelines, must be raised without pesticides, synthetic fertilizers, and GMOs, which is genetically modified organisms. Organic lifestyle regulations require that animals be raised without antibiotics and hormones. They should be given organic feed and have outdoor access. And I remember when Natalie came and she talked about the CAFOs, where the livestock were packed in these little houses and stuff. They weren't able to move. They were packed in.
Right.
Therefore, they would get each other's diseases and stuff, and they would have to pump them with antibiotics. So if you see the USDA and it's organic certified, that means, especially on your animal produce, that means that the animals were given organic feed and they have outdoor access. Now, for a processed multi-ingredient food to be considered USDA organic certified, the item must be comprised of 95% or more organic ingredients. The label and term organic should not be confused with terms such as GMO-free, which is genetically modified organism, all natural, hormone free. You know, you see some of these on the packaging.
Right.
But here's the thing. If the food doesn't have that seal that says USDA organic, it has a little seal there on your cans. You can see with your beans. You can see on different things. Then it really isn't organic.
And the USDA has been clamping down on people that have been making false claims about their stuff. So they've been really clamping down on a lot of these food products that have these false claims.
Yes. So you have to, that goes back to what we've always been saying, Dee, to read the labels.
Got to read your labels.
Yeah. Organic foods are more often, and this is talking about organic versus GMO, because we hear that buzzword, GMO.
Right.
So organic foods are often preferred by many over other foods, especially those that have been genetically modified. GMOs have drawn a slew of negative media attention in the past decade, mostly because GMO's genetic makeup has been altered and engineered by the scientists and humans and folks in the lab. And so this is done. The reason why, so why do we have genetically modified food? Well,
yeah, why do we?
It goes back to the plant being able, like, who's benefiting, right? The
who's
plant
benefiting?
Being able to grow faster, larger, the animal, the same thing, but withstanding the damage effects of the herbicides and other harmful chemicals, because they still have to spray the pesticides. But if you genetically go into the food and change it where it can resist the pesticides, then that's better money, right?
Right.
Also, it'll be able to resist crop diseases. Therefore, your season's harvest will be great. It won't be ruined by all these things that happen.
Exactly.
But what does that mean? That means that our food is really not the natural food the way, most especially since it's genetically modified.
You just think if you're putting all that genetically modified stuff into your body, and especially I think about that with pregnant women, you know, with developing babies and so forth. What is that ultimately doing to us?
I know, because we are what we eat.
We are what we eat.
Period.
We are what we eat.
That's the debate. And because, you know, they've done tons of research to show that GMOs have serious health risks, you know, food and things that are, you know, genetically modified. They might have some health risks and diseases and so forth. So that's why we are telling folks, you know, let's really think about, and then let's think about it. When you go to a farmer's market and they cook their food, even if you are eating meat or eggs, it just tastes better, doesn't it?
That's why I love working in rural Pennsylvania, because in the summer, I can't wait, because there's farmer's markets everywhere, the Amish and a lot of farmers there. And so you see all these, you know, produce, and I miss it. So I'm already starting to have withdrawal symptoms, because all summer, you know, fresh tomatoes and, you know, fresh squash and fresh this and fresh that, peppers and so forth. And now you go to the grocery store and there's wax all over everything.
I know, isn't it?
I don't even feel like eating that stuff.
I know, and then it's huge.
And yeah.
You get a big, you see them, some of them apples, they so big.
I know. You wonder, like, how are they grown?
I know.
They've got to,
then you see the regular
something.
The regular fresh apple
right
from the farm,
right.
And they're that small. But that's pretty much how they should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this stuff is just too big, too much, too everything.
So who's benefiting?
Who's benefiting?
That's it. And a lot of times it's not us. We have Nicole Robbins, our guest, and let's listen to our interview with her. Here with us today is Nicole Robbins. She's a registered holistic nutritionist and an owner of the specialty organic store Sprout Market in North Vancouver, Canada. Can you believe that?
I know.
Yeah, it's kind of cold up there.
I've never been to British Columbia. You're right above Seattle, right?
We're right above Seattle. We do get sort of the same weather as Seattle. In fact, it's pouring rain here today, but, you know, we love it. It's nice and green.
Yeah.
And then the weather is, especially during the cold months, how is it? Cold?
No, we're pretty temperate. We're still quite a bit like Seattle. Okay. Last winter
we had
what we called up here Snowmageddon because we don't do well with snow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We like it on the mountains for people to ski. We don't love to drive in it. But typically we're about, I don't know, oh gosh, we're in Celsius, so it's about 10 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Today, we have Nicole Robbins, a registered holistic nutritionist, and she's the owner of the specialty organic store Sprout Market in North Vancouver, Canada. She is with us to talk about her store and the organic culture and community that she is creating, but also she will discuss why it is important for us to think about buying organic. So how are you, Nicole?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you, ladies?
We're doing fine. Glad to have you today. Can't wait to hear you,
thank you,
talk about your store and your venture and so forth.
Yes, indeed. So tell us what you do and how you got started in the whole organic culture and owning a specialty store.
So Sprout Organic Market, we've been a retail store for the last 5 years here in North Vancouver. And what we are is a store that sells 100% organic, so only organic foods. And we're really unique because there's no other store in North Vancouver that does that. And it's pretty rare to find it within the city of Vancouver as well. We got started, the company actually started in 1999, and we were one of the first organic home delivery services. So people could order all their produce online and groceries and have it delivered to their home. At the time, we were one of the only companies that had access to organic produce. Things have changed a lot, obviously. There's a lot more organic food out there.
Yes.
But how we specifically got into the business was really, it was my friend that had started Organics at Home, and he was looking to make a change in his life. And my husband and I were looking to make a change in our lives as well. So we thought it was a perfect opportunity. We'd been really interested in organic foods. We've been eating this way for about 18 years. And, you know, once we started having children, we became even more aware. I always say eating is the only time other than breathing when we take the outside world into our bodies. So you can really see that, obviously, the effects of what you eat, you are what you eat.
Yes, we always say
that.
Right.
You are what you eat. So this store, then, you say you are 100% organic.
Yes.
That is neat. So do you grow the produce, or how do you do that?
So we've got really great relationships with local farmers and farmers from further afield, like down in the States. But specifically with local farms here, we don't grow it. We leave that to the experts. But we do Farm Direct, which is also a bit unique, where we deal directly with the farms. They provide us with their beautiful produce, and we pay them directly. So keeping the money closer to them so that it helps keep the costs down.
Oh, yeah. So keep the money local, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nicole, and I always have to interject what I do, because I'm just thinking my vocation is that I'm an infectious disease specialist. So how are the farmers that you acquire your produce and stuff, how are they regulated? How are they, you know, how do you know you're making me say produce now too. Your produce is, you know, regulated and free of whatever. I mean, how can you how do you guarantee that the product is organic?
Right. So we have the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, the CFIA, up here. They're a lot like the USDA.
Mm-hmm.
And so their standards are the same.
Mm-hmm.
And there are inspectors that go to the farms. These farmers have to go through a really rigorous certification program to become, and it costs them a great deal of money as well
to become
certified organic. So, like, the cost scale in organic farming is actually quite high, and that's one of the reasons I like to go direct to the farm. So they get what we call a PAX certification number, and that's how you know that they've been inspected, that they are inspected annually, and we are assured that they are doing their certification to the standards set by the government. Additionally, the Coastal Health Vancouver Coastal Health here in Vancouver. The food inspectors go in and they will check if it goes through a distributor. They go in and they test the soil, if there's any soil residue, to make sure that it is free of any, you know, E. coli or any of these things. And they also test, it's like a second and third layer to make sure that everything is safe for consumption. Wow.
When you talk about your store, we think about here in the U.S. how we can tap into your market. And I saw when I looked on your website that you had an online store. So tell us more about your online store and the products there.
The online store is sproutmarket.ca. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working on it. It's a work in progress. But basically, other than produce, anything that I sell in the store, I can offer through the online store. We've got a lot of customers that have started moving outside of Vancouver, and it's a way that they can keep a dose of Sprout, I like to call it.
Okay.
But we do ship anywhere. There's no limitations. Obviously, produce I wouldn't be able to ship into the States just because it's too complicated. But certainly anything. And in fact, I've been shipping several products down to California and Las Vegas. So we are international.
Yes, that's how you want to be.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So what makes a product organic then? You were talking about some of the guidelines, and we go by the USDA. But for your specific product, especially the ones that's online, what are they free of? They're free of what? If I want to get shampoo or household cleaner, what are they free of?
So with the shampoos and the household cleaners, they're often sulfite-free. We don't use any parabens. I don't make these products, obviously.
I come from
very talented people who make these things, often locally in Vancouver.
Okay.
But they're free of toxins. The ingredients were grown without synthetic pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, industrial fertilizers. So the toxins are quite low.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If we're talking about some of the hair products, there are no silicones, no dyes, that kind of thing. And fragrances are a big thing for many people now, where they just cannot tolerate any fragrances. A lot of gyms here in Canada, you're not allowed to wear perfumes or bring in perfume shampoos. So these are all just essential oil-based.
Okay.
So they're not going to be a problem for people that have sensitivities with that.
There's only one perfume that I can wear and have worn, you know, for many years, and now they're discontinuing it, Dee. I know. So I'm going to be, I'm not going to be fresh. I just have to be naturally fresh.
I have to
fresh.
Stay away from you.
Well, I'll go on your website and look at some cologne and perfume. How's that?
That sounds like a good idea. I've got a beautiful line from France.
Oh, wow.
Okay, yes.
So, Nicole, how do you maintain so you said you're the only store in the North Vancouver, British Columbia area, and you've got, looks like, a pretty extensive produce line and, you know, other lines. So how do you maintain your inventory and make sure that, you know, you don't have, you know, the just-in-time inventory, make sure you don't have too much, too little, and so
forth? Well, that's always a very fun dance that I do.
Okay.
You know, I always say I'm keeping it fresh as possible. Mm-hmm. And it's true. Thankfully, I have fantastic suppliers that are able to provide me with what I need as soon as the next morning. Mm-hmm. So I do very regular produce orders just to keep them as fresh as possible. Things like apples and squashes, they store really well, so it's not a problem. But in terms of greens and things like that, we have farmers that bring us pasture-raised chickens and beef and eggs and dairy. So we order regularly, at least 3 to 4 times a week.
So these are all, what's the word, free range or free range chickens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the new phraseology they like to use is pasture raised, because
there's
a lot of confusion between free run, free range.
Yeah. Yes.
So pasture raised means that they are outside. Those little chickens are eating bugs and cows are eating grass as they should be.
Okay.
That sounds like some of the places I used to visit with my grandmother down south back in the day, and you would see the chickens running across the street and everything. They were just running.
Yeah, as opposed to getting all the stuff that we're feeding them. Who knows what we're feeding them, antibiotics and so forth.
I know nowadays, right?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you know, the grains that they feed, it's, you know, the animals are what they eat as well, so... If they're eating GMO corn and stuff, that will impact what we're consuming as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So how have you advertised in the area? What sort of social media or how have you advertised?
Yeah, I do a lot of Facebook advertising.
Okay. Yeah, that's the best. Okay. Yes.
Best, yeah. We do a lot on Instagram as well. I've got a great staff that help me out with that. We're always taking pictures of these amazing meals we all make. But also we've got a really great community newspaper here called the North Shore News, and its readership is the highest in Canada for a community-based newspaper.
Okay.
So I advertise with them as well.
So tell me now, to get folks into your store, some of the stores around here we have, you can go in there, you see the folks giving out samples of their food. Some stores even have it all the way where they do cooking demos and stuff like that. So what are kind of the fun things that you do at your store to get folks, you know, involved in knowing about how great organic food is?
Well, so some of the things we do, we have, we're quite a small store, so we don't have as much space, but we do often do demo days where a lot of my suppliers, and I try to support the smaller producers as well. So they, sometimes it's the people that are actually making the sausages and the shampoos and things. They come in and they talk to the customers and they, you know, give them samples and let them try things. And once you try, you always end up getting hooked because, you know, sometimes the price tag is a bit of
a challenge,
deterrent,
huh?
For people. I mean, hey, life is expensive, and to buy something at a higher price point, it can be hard for families to justify, but, you know, we don't need to use things in the volumes that we do. We don't need, you know, like with things like Costco, while they serve a great purpose and for big families, it's absolutely required, but sometimes, I know for myself,
I know.
My husband banned me from Costco because I would load up on so much stuff.
Yeah,
and,
you buy way too much stuff.
And a lot of that food would get wasted.
Yeah.
Yeah, waste a lot of food because I have to tell my honey sweet, Dr. Nate, I have to tell him, look, oh, can I go shopping at Sam's or Costco? No, because you get too much and we'll have to throw all that stuff away. So you're right.
I know.
And they're hoping that you're buying all that stuff, too. They do it by design. But I have another question, Nicole. So you said that you and your husband had been doing this for a long time before you opened up your store.
Yeah.
So for the naysayers out there that are saying, oh, you know, organic's too expensive and so forth. So how has it changed your lives? Some tangibles that you could talk about for those out there that say, well, you know, I don't have a lot of discretionary income, but, you know, you buy what you want to buy, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think that like there's so few healthy indulgences in life. And so eating organic, while it is a little bit more expensive, I find the flavors are so good, like an organic orange. And then you compare it with a non-organic orange. Sometimes they don't even taste like orange.
I know.
So I really think if you're going to spend money on something, it should really make you happy, like to eat that orange, that apple. What I say to people is a great place to start is with what the Environmental Working Group calls the Dirty Dozen.
Okay.
So to really focus on the things that get the most pesticide residue, especially for children because they're so small and their immune systems are so immature, you know, their exposure would be greater than ours. So I focus on that with and meat and dairy. And how has it changed our lives? Well, it's hard to really be specific because these are anecdotal things.
Okay.
But my family is really healthy. My kids don't suffer from colds and flus the way a lot of the kids in their schools do.
Okay.
You know, we just don't have the same issues. Like I see friends, their kids are on antibiotics all the time or they're just super sick, and mine aren't. They're really energetic and vibrant. We've all got really healthy tummies that we don't really have any food problems. Yeah, I wish I could be more specific in terms of like a percentage or something mm-hmm. tangible. But mm-hmm. honestly, I can say just looking around their peer group, they're a real healthy bunch.
Well, I mean, that's pretty tangible when you benchmark yourself against everybody else that you're looking around, looking at, seeing how they're faring.
Yes. And so you are definitely building a community of people. What are some of the things that you do to involve the children? Because, you know, the kids will tell you, they'll say, this doesn't taste good, you know, so they'll tell you. So how do you get the children involved maybe in thinking about growing? Because a lot, when we think about it, a lot of students, especially with me teaching and going back and forth to the different community things that I do with the children, a lot of kids, they have no clue how an apple is grown or anything. They're just so used to going to the grocery store and picking those things. So what are some of the things that you do to build awareness for the children in your area?
We have a couple of great things here. I had a demonstration garden out front of my store, three growing boxes, and we grow food there. We grow tomatoes and kales and strawberries, and we let the kids go out there. They can pick their own strawberries and eat while mom's shopping and talk about how these things grow and grow seasonally. Because okay. you're right, you know, a little bag of baby carrots, some kids honestly think they grow like that.
Yeah.
They haven't a clue. So I think it's really important that kids connect and build those healthy habits early so that we aren't backtracking when, you know, someone's 40 and saying, okay, we need to eat more fresh foods.
I know.
There's also a really great program here in North Vancouver. They're called the Edible Garden Project.
Okay.
And they're all about bringing growing food to the community. So they've started a lot of community gardens.
Okay.
There's a little farm up here that's called Lutette Farm, and it's run by the Edible Garden Project. They're also going out into all the schools, and we're partnering with them to do so. They go to the schools, and a lot of the garden areas there are now becoming gardens for children to grow food, and they tend to it.
Okay.
And they get to harvest it as well. So it's a really exciting program.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great.
Has there been any partnering with the healthcare community? For example, I know the Cleveland Clinic here in the United States is really big on, you know, things like organic and health foods and having, you know, supporting the farmers and having days where they have, you know, farmers market outside and so forth. So has there been any of that with the healthcare community in North Vancouver?
There's definitely a bigger push towards that. Certainly naturopaths and that part of the healthcare community are more at the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, a lot of the healthcare community here are very supportive, their customers. But specifics like that, I think, would be a really exciting thing to work with them on here, mm-hmm. and bringing that to the hospitals and such. You see it in smaller scales, mm-hmm. but it's certainly moving in that way.
That's it. So you think over the years, you think in your area, do you think folks are becoming more conscious of the reason and that they should try to eat natural and organic food? You think it's growing towards that? What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, the West Coast has always been more geared towards it. And even back 10 years ago when we bought the company, I was surprised how many people were really in tune with it. There's always going to be a percentage that aren't, but I think that we're still moving in that direction. Certainly, when you look around all the grocery stores, and I'm sure it's the same down in the States, but mm-hmm. any major chain grocery store, even the smaller run produce stores, they all offer organic produce.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. So I think that definitely, certainly in North Vancouver, we've got a really, really strong organic presence and people look for it and seek it out. But and Vancouver as a whole, I mean, it's incredible how health conscious people are out here.
Other than cost, are there any other major barriers
mm-hmm.
for you with your organic store or the movement or that you see at this point?
No, you know, I think that most of the people in this community, they get it, and mm-hmm. they're very interested in the lifestyle. I think more than anything, it's time.
Yes.
Time is a problem for so many busy families. Everyone's working, kids are busy. So finding that time to, you know, move away from processed foods and to make their own healthy meals from home, that's the challenge. But we love winter because the slow cookers come out.
And yes.
And healthy things. Yeah, like that's, it's much easier with the season.
When are you going to come out with your cookbook?
Oh, I know. You know, you're not the only one who's ever asked me. My friends ask all the time. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be my winter project.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, please let us know.
Definitely. Absolutely. With all that said, what suggestions would you have for folks that are listening, those that haven't really thought about going more organic, not just for the food, but, you know, really thinking about what they put on their face, their makeup, their perfume.
Yeah.
What suggestions would you give folks on how to make that change? Because, you know, some folks can't do cold turkey where they just change, you know, tomorrow. But how can they at least think about it and move towards changing in that direction? What do you say?
Well, I would say start with the Dirty Dozen, which are basically, you can find the Dirty Dozen on the Environmental Working Group's website, which is EWG.org. And it's things like strawberries, spinach, peaches, grapes, the thin skin things. Really look to use that as a guideline to start yourself off.
Okay.
I would say to people when they are starting to get on a healthier eating path, eat the rainbow every day. Try to make your plate as colorful as possible. If you look at your plate, make the percentage, I think the recommendation is actually 3/4 of your plate, if possible. A half to 3/4 should be veg or fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, lesser amount for a starch or a carb, but then a protein added to that. I would go with fresh local produce as much as possible because it hasn't traveled as far, and so it would be fresher. And reduce the amount of pre-made packaged foods, fast foods, and eating out. As much as you can, eat at home.
Yes.
And then in terms of the other stuff, you know, it for like house cleaners, it could be as simple as just buying yourself some white vinegar, a spray bottle.
I've started doing that.
Water.
Yep, I've started doing that, Nicole, myself. Yep, I have tons
it's
of bottles
phenomenal,
of vinegar.
You know,
yeah.
Like you don't need Windex.
You don't
need those things. It actually works so well.
Yep.
Then that's less expensive as well. Because, you know, most folks talk about, well, I can't do organic. I can't go to these food stores because it's too expensive. But even with things being expensive, there's still a way to buy so that you won't be spending a lot of money. And you talked a little bit about it, not buying a whole bunch of stuff, you know, just buying little things. But then they're seasonal, you know, with fruits and vegetables, you can do seasonal buying. So what other suggestion for those folks that say, look, it's too expensive. What's wrong with you?
I'd say visit a local farmer's market. They're everywhere.
Yes.
When you buy fresh stuff direct from a farmer, you can get some really great deals. You could look at going in and doing a buying group with friends.
Where
you might say, I want to buy a case of apples, but I don't know if I can eat 40 pounds of apples on my own. Go and split a case with a friend.
I didn't think about that.
The buying groups are popping up more and more, and you can get some good discounts.
We did that in Cleveland, Nicole, when I lived there many years ago. I lived on a street where we all got together, and every week somebody volunteered to go down to the, what's called Central Market, where the trucks would come in with the local farm produce, and we'd get boxes of, you know, fruits and vegetables, and then we'd go back to somebody's garage and divvy up the food, and somebody was responsible for that every week. But it was wonderful because we had squash and, you know, all kinds of vegetables and stuff. It was cold. Co-op was what we called it at the time.
Right, and it
really
builds community.
Great.
You
yeah.
get to know you bring in your friends, you bring in your neighbors.
It was really good,
support
you're
each
right.
other, yeah.
Yeah.
When I was growing up with my grandmother, she was a part of a co-op farmer's market as well. Mm-hmm. And she would go in and do like time, like come in and help sweep the floor, help arrange the stuff. And then you would have discount off some of the stuff in there. So I thought that was cool. And I'm sure some folks probably still, if we go and really search that out, I'm sure they have some type of co-op type of thing like that as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, like if you have a little garden patch that you can grow some food, or even on a balcony if you're living in an apartment building, mm-hmm. if you get together with a couple of neighbors, you could be growing tomatoes, they could be growing lettuce, and together you've made a salad.
Right.
Those are great ideas, right, Dee?
Oh, yeah. And like I have friends that grow their own basil and, you know, cilantro and all these other things that are fresh that you can. We talk a lot on this show, Nicole, about things that you can do to spice up foods without having to use salt and stuff.
Right.
So these are the kinds of things that you can throw into your salads and foods to kind of give them a kick.
Absolutely. And they're things that grow abundantly. So, you know, mm-hmm. one person usually can't consume all that much. So mm-hmm. it's a great way to share.
Dee was talking with me earlier about spices and so forth. So what are some of the spices that you recommend, since we're talking about that, to spruce up your food without using salt? What do you recommend?
I love garlic powder. It's my secret ingredient in everything.
Me too.
Really? Okay.
It really, like, it has a bit of a salty flavor to it. Mm-hmm. I use fresh garlic all the time as mm-hmm. well, but mm-hmm. I really like adding that as a little bit of a kick. There's also something, and I don't know how familiar you guys are with this, it's nutritional yeast or brewer's yeast.
Oh, no.
It is a byproduct of yeast. It's deactivated yeast, so it's not going to be a problem for people with any sort of candida or yeast problems. Mm-hmm. But it has a very cheesy, salty flavor to it.
Okay.
And quite a few vegans use it as a vegan sort of Parmesan cheese. But it has such a flavor to it that's quite nice.
Okay.
And it adds like a saltiness without being salt.
Oh, great.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, you do need to get that cookbook.
I told you. I told you.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
So it's so great talking with you, Nicole. We're finding out a lot of good stuff, right, Dee?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So as we close, give us a brief summary, some nutrition tips and benefits as to why we should go organic and buy organic foods and products.
Absolutely. As a society, we need to lower our toxic load, and that just means, you know, eating organic means fewer pesticides and industrial fertilizers. It will help support your immune system and make your tummy really, really happy. And I would always, back to what I was saying before, I really like the old adage of eating the rainbow.
I like
that. The more colorful mm-hmm. the food, the more likely it is to be fresh. And, you know, you just add some different things to your diet. More raw food, eat your salads, and just really eat as much fresh as possible.
So how can folks here buy from your online store? What is the website?
So you can visit us at www.sproutmarket.ca. Sign up to set up an account, and we can ship to you wherever you are.
Oh, that sounds great. And it was great talking with you.
It was great, Nicole.
Yes,
we
learned.
It was great. Lots of fun. Nice to chat with you, ladies.
Same here.
Same here. And I'm going to go.
Doing good work.
Yes, and I'm going to go check out your store. You say your perfume, what, France? You know, I like the flower and the bloom smell.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You have some of those? What do you suggest?
Yeah. Oh, I love the Acquarelle products. They have roll-on perfumes, but also these really great body mist sprays. They're all certified organic botanicals with no synthetic fragrances at all, and they're just so light and fresh. I mean, honestly, you'd have to have a look. The vanilla is really nice.
Okay. Well, I'm going right now because, you know, Dee knows I always have an excuse to go buy something.
We don't need much of one.
My kind of girl.
Yeah, we don't need much of one.
And thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
For coming on the
thank
show.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Now, this ends our show, Dee. Do you have some tips that we should think about?
Yeah, I like Nicole's suggestion that our plate should look like a rainbow.
Yeah.
You know, that one half to three fourths should have colorful vegetables and fruits and, you know, the rest with starches or carbs or meat or whatever. But I like that rainbow effect.
Yes, for our
food. That's catchy. That's, you know,
that is catchy.
That's something visual that you can, I like to think about tangibles. And that's something tangible that if your plate looks like a rainbow, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that too. I like the fact that she was saying with the children, remember how she was talking about how, and we had said that, how that we forget that our little babies, when they have their little baby carrots and mm-hmm. stuff from the store, mm-hmm. you know, it's good for the children to know how things are actually grown.
Right.
And
exactly.
they have a lot mm-hmm. of great programs, right. she said, up there mm-hmm. that the children are involved in.
Right.
And I think that's great, don't you think?
I think that's wonderful, too.
Yeah,
that's
even going to like, see how a cow looks.
And it sounds like that area, and I've kind of known that area of the country has been more progressive in terms of just stuff like that, health and wellness.
Yes.
If you just kind of, you know, cast a wide net, that whole area up there. Well, that's Seattle area,
yes.
too. Seattle, mm-hmm. Vancouver, they've all been about, they walk a lot.
Yes.
Exercise a lot. They mm-hmm. eat healthier kind of mm-hmm. thing. You know, seafood and fresh foods and stuff. So yeah, and it starts with their children. Well, it's got to start with the kids, and we talk about that
yes.
all the time.
But yeah, we're all about eating well.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can eat healthy, well, and feel satisfied.
Yep.
And as always, for more information, go to our website www.vickidofitness.com. and remember, if you have any questions, comments, or just something to say, tweet us, email us, go on Facebook and share with us your thoughts.
You've been listening to It's All About Health and Fitness with Dr. Vicki Hayward Doe and Dr. Virginia Banks Bright. Vicki Doe is owner of Vicki Doe Fitness, a multimedia health and wellness forum, a place to discuss, learn, and participate in healthy living. You can get in touch with Vicki by email at info@vickidofitness.com.